Welcome to the Stochastic MLB DFS Strategy Show. I'm your host, Neil Orfield. You can find me on Twitter at PlayerQDFS. I'm here with Adam Scherer. You can find him on Twitter at ShipMyMoneyDFS. And this show is sponsored by SoRare MLB, which is a digital trading card and NFT-based free-to-play MLB game. We'll get into SoRare a little bit more later on. While you're coming in, please do like the video, subscribe to the channel if you haven't already, and hit that notification button so you can get alerts when our shows go live. Adam, I don't know about you, but I still get excited for Fridays, and I don't really know why. Like, I have to work Saturday morning. It's actually the earliest that we do a show is on Saturday morning. I still get excited for Fridays. Do you still get excited for the weekend?
Yeah, I still get excited for Fridays because I'm done after the Saturday morning show. So
true.
It's still basically the weekend. And, like, I'm not ever doing anything at 11 a.m. on a Saturday anyway. So
good point. Yeah.
Friday is the last day that work affects my life.
Right, because you have multiple shows. I know you're going to be on the NBA show later tonight, so you're basically going to be working all day. Yeah, still TGIF. Hope you guys are as excited as we are for the weekend. One other thing that I'm excited about, Adam, is the Sims tool, which has been absolutely crushing already. We just released it earlier this week. I know yesterday Sam Schaefer tweeted out that he had won a couple contests, or he was top five in a couple contests in both DraftKings and FanDuel using the Sims tool. That was very cool to see. And then just looking at Twitter, he was not the only one. We had a few other people who just, like, within the 5 minutes before the show, just messaged us. And I'm sorry, Barry, he says, does not qualify, do not care. Just please don't tell anybody about this new Sims tool. Yeah, right away, Barry finding some success, taking down the MLB 15K relay throw. Looks like he had a big night for Barry. That's very exciting. Nice job to Barry. But then he was not the only one. We also had, let's see, who else we got here? 209 DFS got a couple takedowns using the new Sims tool as well. Just so many tweets going out about people who just started using the Sims tool already finding success with it. I put the link to the Sims tool in chat. You should check it out if you haven't already. It really is a fantastic tool. We haven't been looking at the pre-contest simulator, which is obviously what people are using to win, Adam. We've been looking more at the post-contest simulator on this show, which I'm going to continue to do. But people, it sounds like I talked to Sam a little bit about his approach. Sounded like he had kind of a unique approach to using the simulator. My approach has been trying to match the field. Of course, yesterday I tried it while I was doing MLB Live Before Lock. I thought I was going to try and use the simulator tool, and I missed getting my lineups in by literally like 10 seconds. Greg and Jordan were there with me sweating it. And it was kind of very sad for me that I missed getting my simmed out lineups in just by like literally seconds. But hopefully maybe I'll be able to try it again today. Of course, I'm on Live Before Lock again, so it's going to be tough. But this is what we're looking at here is the post-contest simulator, where you can see, you know, what the expected and actual ROI is for various lineups. So if you look at, for example, let's see what the top simmed lineup was. Damn, Jay Dana had a sim lineup projected ROI of more than 1,000%. I don't think I've ever seen that before. That's pretty insane. Of course, Spencer Strider not doing it for Jay Dana. Randy Vasquez, I don't actually, I had softball last night. I didn't pay attention to that, all of the ins and outs.
Are you looking, so the Yankees game wasn't on the slate.
Oh, am I looking at the wrong day?
No, you're on the right day. I just don't know why it's showing the Yankees.
Maybe game. I'm looking at the early slate.
Oh, so that's why, yeah, so here's what's happening. The reason that you haven't seen a sim lineup percentage that high is that the Yankees, you could click their players, but their stats don't count. So these people played Yankees game players anyway. And then because nobody else played them, when you simulate it out,
right,
it doesn't know that they were just going to automatically get 0 points. So these people are just coming to the top whenever the Yankees do well.
All right. So a little bit of a bug there that we'll have to figure out. That makes sense. And then in terms of actual lineup ROI, let's see who had it's obviously going to be the person who won is going to have the highest lineup ROI. Squirrel Patrol, I didn't realize Squirrel Patrol took it down last night. Good for him. With Aaron Civale, Reed Detmers went a little bit different with pitchers. I had 100% Strider in my lineups last night. I thought that was okay. Did not work out. I think he had 3 fantasy points, something like that. So congrats to Squirrel Patrol, sim lineup, and he had a positive expected ROI as well. So that's good to see. Looks like he did a full-on Braves and Guardian stack with Civale and Detmers. Detmers, of course, the chalk that I was trying to avoid a little bit, not trying to have in all of my lineups, and of course he went off while Strider let me down. So anyway, Very cool tool. And of course, this is just the post-contest simulator, the pre-contest simulator. You can upload your own projections if you want to. The default is to use the stochastic projections. I'm just going to use the stochastic projections. I don't think I can do them better than the stochastic team, but you can upload a CSV of, you know, you create up to 2000 lineups, and then you can sim those lineups against each other. So typically for me, I'm trying to generate 2000 lineups that replicate the field to the extent that I can, and then have them sim against each other, see which lineups end up with the highest ROI in those lineups replicating the field. It really is it's a world beating tool. We've never seen anything like this before in the DFS world. Fantastic tool. You should check it out if you haven't already. It's $6 a day, $180 a month for this tool. So, you know, if you're playing 1 to 5 low stakes lineups, 20 low stakes lineups, even maybe I don't know if I'd do it for 20 low stakes lineups, but if you're playing any kind of volume or playing like high stakes, this is the tool that I would highly recommend. If you haven't checked it out, it's going to be helping us win some money. As we've already seen yesterday, tons of people having a lot of success with it. All right, Adam, we have 13 games. Again, I really prefer like shorter slates because it's so hard to get through 13 games quickly, but we can give it a go here. I don't know if we have any, I haven't looked at the weather, whether we have concerns there.
Weather, I think, should be good everywhere. Baltimore is kind of smoky, but definitely better than yesterday. I assume they're going to be good to go. But again, like if they're not, we should find that one out pretty early.
Okay. Sounds good. Well, that is the first game on the slate. Kansas City at Baltimore. Daniel Lynch on the mound for the Royals. Tyler Wells for the Orioles. Any interest in these pitchers, Adam?
Yeah, Tyler Wells looks really good here. I am a little surprised he's getting as much ownership as he is at 35% on DraftKings, but it does make sense. Going through the slate, you're going to find that a lot of the good pitchers are in tough matchups. Also, there's not a lot of good pitchers on the slate. Tyler Wells has quietly been very, very good this year for the Orioles, striking out 27.5% of hitters, only walking 5.5%. 3.97 xFIP. The only real problem he's had is that he has been home run prone, allowing 2 home runs per 9 innings. One, that number is likely to come down. And 2, Kansas City doesn't have a lot of power. We also know that right-handed power in Baltimore dies. So overall, sets up as a really good spot for Wells. Kansas City's been one of the worst offenses against right-handed pitching this year. Their active roster has an 89 WRC plus that is tied for 4th worst in the league, striking out 23.9% of the time. Only an $8,300 price tag on Wells. Not only do you have a lot of the talented pitching on this slate in tough matchups, you don't have a particularly strong mid-range. So that $8,300 price tag does really stand out. And I think that is one reason why you're seeing so much ownership come into him. But yeah, Wells looks really good. Not interested really in getting to Lynch. Pulling 2% ownership at $6,800. The Orioles are, I think, a little bit worse against left-handed. They are worse against left-handed pitching. It makes sense when you know you look at the way that their lineup is built. Also, this park does downplay right-handed power, which is good for Lynch. But that being said, still enough other pitchers I'm going to get to today that I don't think I need to get to Lynch much against a team with a near 5 implied run total.
Makes sense. How about the bats in this game? Any interest on this 13-game slate?
Some interest in Baltimore. Like I said, they do have nearly a 5-run implied total. The problem is that you're going to be looking to attack Lynch with right-handed power, and the Orioles do have that. You have Hayes, Rutschman, Santander, Mountcastle, Hicks, Urias, McCann. These guys are all right-handed. Their projected lineup, the only lefty in it is Gunnar Henderson. He may or may not actually be in it. But point being, they're going to have plenty of right-handed bats here that do have power. But it's just likely that a lot of hard-hit balls, Lynch kind of gets bailed out on some hard-hit fly balls that would be home runs everywhere else. I do still like the value on Austin Hayes. He's been one of the better hitters in baseball this year in terms of hard contact percentage. He's just hitting really well and shouldn't be $3,700. Rutschman's obviously always a top catching option. No problems with Santander, Mountcastle. Hicks is cheap. He's been hitting well in his limited time with the Orioles. Probably disappears, but at the same time, this is someone that has had major league success before. Maybe the change of scenery actually helps him out. Certainly wouldn't be the first guy recently that we've seen take pretty big strides going from a different team to the Orioles. So at that price tag, if you're stacking, at the very least, he's appealing. But individually, Hayes and Rutschman, I think, are the top guys offensively here.
Okay. And then how would you rank the 4 sides of the game?
Wells 1, Orioles 2, KC 3, Lynch 4.
All right. Moving on to the second game of the slate. And I do want to say, Jay Noah's pointed out that the link that I put into chat is not working. I tested out the Sims tool link. So I'm going to find a new link for you. I don't know why that one's not working. It's the link that is in the description. I'll have to talk to somebody about getting that changed. I don't know why that one is not working, but yeah, I'll get you a new link here. Second game on the slate, we've got New York at Pittsburgh. Tyler McGill on the mound for the Mets, Rich Hill for the Pirates. Any interest in these pitchers?
No, this game looks pretty much like an offensive game, which is kind of weird when you're talking about, you know, a game being in Pittsburgh. And I don't think either offense is like the best offense or anything, but very difficult to get to these pitchers. Rich Hill doesn't strike people out, has a tough matchup against the Mets, who are a difficult team to strike out. If you were to go to a pitcher here, I think it would be McGill, but still only striking out about 18% of hitters this year, 5.06 xFIP. You have a 4.8 implied run total for the Pirates, same as the Mets. I don't see much in the way of pitching.
All right. How much interest in the bats here?
I think as stacks, they're both middle of the road, not the best offensive park. There are good hitting conditions elsewhere today, but I think you can at the very least find some high upside one-offs or mini stacks here. Francisco Alvarez in particular is going to be one of your best catching plays today. Rich Hill gives up plenty of power to right-handed hitters. Francisco Alvarez has plenty of it, and he's likely to be hitting second today at only $3,500, 232 expected ISO and a 373 expected wOBA to righties this year for Hill. So Alvarez really stands out. You're not going to have Peter Alonso. He was moved to the injured list with an injured wrist, but you'll still have Pham, Lindor, Cana, Marte, Escobar, Vientos, if he's in the lineup, all hitting from the right side. So predominantly right-handed lineup for the Mets. There is plenty of upside there. On the other side, McGill's given up power to both sides of the plate. Nothing crazy, but you know, above average power numbers for lefties and righties. 172 expected ISO to lefties, 193 to righties. I don't love the Pirates as a stack, but Reynolds, McCutchen, Sawinski, Hayes, you know, these guys all give you plenty of upside and they're reasonably priced. And then on top of that, you are likely to have a very good point per dollar shortstop with Marcano leading off at only 2,400. So both of these stacks are certainly playable. Neither one is the best stack or, you know, one of the best, but Mets are coming in fifth in stack score. Pirates are coming in eighth. So, you know, on a slate with 26 teams, they're both in the top third.
All right. And how would you rank the four sides of that game?
Mets, Pirates, McGill, Hill.
All right. Man, the personal link that I was given for the Sims tool is not working right now either. So I'm not sure. I'm going to have to get some new links there. So sorry, I can't get that to you right away, Jay Noah. But if you just go to stochastic.com, go to the MLB tab, we have an MLB simulator link there. So you can just get to it through the Stochastic tab. I want to get you a new link so we can track it to the show. But, you know, can't do it right now. So just go to the MLB tab on the Stochastic homepage. You can find the MLB Sims tool there. All right. Third game on the slate. We've got the Dodgers at the Phillies. Michael Grove on the mound for the Dodgers. Ranger Suarez for the Phillies. Any interest in these pitchers, Adam?
No, this is another one where I'm mostly interested in the bats. If you wanted to make a case for the pitching, it would be that they are both dirt cheap. Suarez, 5,300. Grove, 5,100. But on a slate with 26 offenses playing, you're just going to be able to find enough cheap bats to fill out lineups that I don't think you're going to need to be taking too many shots on, you know, Ranger Suarez against the Dodgers, you know, in Philly. So like, are they both underpriced for starting pitchers? Sure. I've said that before. Like if you're a fully stretched out starter, I think you're essentially underpriced if you're below 6K or 6,500, just based on what you're capable of doing. But I'm still not going out of my way to get to these guys.
Makes sense. What about the bats here? Rangers against Ranger Suarez and Michael Grove, two solid offenses. Any interest here?
Yeah. Two more decent stacks to get to. Dodgers get a nice park upgrade. Going into Philly, they are expensive. So they're coming in 10th in stack score, but they are fourth in top stack percentage at 6%. They're only pulling about 3% aggregate ownership. You look at the three teams ahead of them in top stack percentage, the Padres, you know, running away with it tonight in Colorado. Then you get the Braves, then you get Milwaukee, and then the Dodgers. 17, 15, and 8% aggregate ownership respectively for those three teams ahead of the Dodgers. So in tournaments, they do make sense if you can afford them. But, you know, again, that is a pretty big if when you don't have a really strong mid-range of pitchers, you don't have a lot of good value pitching, and the Dodgers are expensive. One thing that will help out stacking-wise, though, is, you know, the top five, Betts, Freeman, Smith, Martinez, and Muncy are all expensive, all at least 5K on DraftKings. You can balance it out with the bottom of the order, though. Chris Taylor's only 3K. Vargas is 3,200. DeLuca's 2,400. So there are ways that you can get to the Dodgers, you know, if you're willing to use some of the bottom of the order value.
All right.
As far as the Phillies go, I think a little bit behind the Dodgers, just, you know, in terms of everything. But they are, they do still have a 3.5% chance of being the top stack, 2.5% projected ownership. So they're projected to go under-owned as well, just not by as much as the Dodgers, and they're less likely to be the top stack than the Dodgers.
All right. And then how would you rank the four sides of the game?
Dodgers 1, Phillies 2, Suarez 3, Grove 4.
All right. I'm seeing M the Great in the chat says that he took down the Minimax yesterday.
Oh, nice.
That is awesome. I mean, that's as tough a contest as you're going to find anywhere. Even like the biggest contest, I think the Minimax is about the same number of entries, sometimes even more. So, yeah, that's really impressive to take that down. Congrats to M the Great for taking that one down. All right. Fourth game on the slate, we've got Boston at New York. Garrett Whitlock on the mound for the Red Sox. Garrett Cole for the Yankees. Any interest in either of these Garretts?
Some interest in Cole. His numbers are down across the board this year, only striking out about 26% of hitters, 3.97 xFIP. You know, neither of those are numbers that you really expect to see from Cole. And he doesn't have a great matchup against the Red Sox. But the thing that stands out as interesting is just the ownership coming into Cole relative to Shohei Ohtani. And Shohei Ohtani is the better of the two pitchers, both in terms of actual pitching and also in terms of, you know, projection and everything tonight. 26.5% chance for Ohtani of being a top two pitcher compared to 15% for Cole. But what stands out is that Ohtani's getting 42% ownership because he's also $600 less than Cole. Cole's only getting about 18%. So you're getting like one third the ownership coming into Cole. He's not even half as he's better than half as likely to be a top two pitcher compared to Ohtani. I worded that weird, but hopefully that my point came across. So I prefer getting to Ohtani when you're paying up for a pitcher, but in lineups where maybe you have some of the more popular hitters, making that pivot to Cole, you are still getting a very high ceiling. You are still getting a very good pitcher at a fraction of the ownership.
Makes sense. What about the bats in this game? Any interest there?
Not too much. Judge being out for the Yankees obviously weakens that lineup quite a bit. I do have some interest in the left-handed bats from the Yankees. You get the short porch in right field. Whitlock hasn't been great at limiting left-handed power this year. 185 expected ISO, 271 actual to lefties, and only striking them out 19% of the time. So you're likely to have a minimum salary Willie Calhoun at the top of the order. That's clearly a strong value. Anthony Rizzo at first base is going to look good. Bowers is free as well. Not to say you can't play Torres, Stanton, Donaldson. Obviously, if you're stacking the Yankees, you can include those guys. But individually, it's the Calhoun, Rizzo, Bowers pieces that stand out to me as interesting.
All right. And then how would you rank the four sides of the game?
Cole 1, Yankees 2, I guess Whitlock 3, Red Sox 4.
Perfect. All right. So we've made it through four of the 13 games. Seems like a good time to take a little break to talk about our sponsor, SoRare MLB. I'll throw that up onto the screen. This is my SoRare lineup from last week. Adam, 10 points out of the money for me with Spencer Strider putting up 6 fantasy points. If he just gets 16, that's all I needed to get into the money.
Yeah, that's really probably brutal. Projected for what, like 40?
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, I don't know how many people ahead of me had Strider, so maybe it was more than 10 to actually get in there, but still pretty brutal for Strider to let me down like that. But again, if you have not yet signed up for SoRare, today is the day to do so because the next contest starts today. We have the Friday through Sunday contest starting today. I'm going to throw the link into chat for SoRare so you can, if you have not yet signed up, highly recommend doing so. It really is a lot of fun. I've been tracking it every day, especially when my DFS is not going well. I love just tracking, seeing something going in the right direction. Obviously, not happening for me this week, but some weeks I do well on SoRare, even when I'm not doing well in DFS. Check it out if you haven't already, and you can get started playing for free. If you sign up today, you're going to be given a choice of many different common cards and a salary cap. You have to choose which cards you want within that salary cap, and then you're going to keep those cards going forward, and you can play them week after week. Enter those into the common contest where you can play for free, and then you can win prizes that are worth real money. You can win the limited cards that you see on my screen. The contest that I play, the limited contest, those cards cost money. You can only get them by either buying them or winning them in contests. So check it out if you haven't already. You can get going for free, or you can just, you know, jump into it the way I have and just start playing some of these limited contests. It's a lot of fun. So next contest starting today, Friday through Sunday. Check it out. All right. Next up, we have my Twins at Toronto. We've got Sonny Gray on the mound for the Twins, Yusei Kikuchi for the Jays. Any interest in these pitchers, Adam?
Sort of. Sonny Gray is really, really good. The matchup is also really difficult. I don't think I'm going to get to much of him. I wouldn't recommend getting to a lot of him. He is not getting any ownership. So, you know, again, if you're playing 150 lineups in the biggest field tournaments and you get some Sonny Gray, perfectly fine. The ceiling's still there, still a really good pitcher. But the matchup, not only are the Blue Jays a very good offense, they're fourth in WRC plus against right-handed pitching this year at 116. They're only striking out 20.7% of the time. So you really have a lot working against Gray. Overall this year, you know, again, he's been very good. 25.5% K percentage, 3.5 xFIP, finally gave up his first home run of the year last start, I believe. But not a spot where I'm really looking to get to. Kikuchi's pulling some ownership because he's only 7,100. The strikeout stuff's there. He's striking out about 23% of hitters this year. The problem is that he's very bad at limiting power. Right-handed hitters have a 262 expected ISO against him. Lefties are at 245. So I'm a little surprised and also disinterested because of the 13% ownership coming in. It's a lot easier to make a case for somebody like Kikuchi if they're, you know, 3, 4, 5% owned, and at least you're getting a pretty big benefit if you take the risk on them and it pays off. But here, you know, you have like 1/6 of the field going to him. The reward's not that high for taking the risk, and there are plenty of pitchers around him that aren't really any worse. So, you know, I get that some people are going to get there. I think he's an okay play, but that's a spot where if you do need to go to that price range, I don't mind pivoting to some lower owned guys and, you know, taking risks on them, because it's not like Kikuchi's risk-free at all. So that does also interest me in the Minnesota side against him, given how much power he's given up and the fact he's getting some ownership. Minnesota comes in 7th in stack score, 3.7% chance of being the top stack, but also a 10.5% chance of being the top value stack. That's higher than every other team on the slate other than Oakland. And Oakland obviously doesn't really count because they're really cheap, but they also just can't hit for shit. So Minnesota, you actually have good hitters in this lineup. Carlos Correa at 4,400, Royce Lewis at 3,800. Farmer is cheap, probably batting cleanup. You have a cheap catching option in Ryan Jeffers at 2,700. So I do think that there's stuff to like for Minnesota, whether it's full stack or just mixing in, you know, two mans, three mans, getting some Lewis, Correa, you know, with a better stack. I think any of that's viable against a pitcher that gives up as much power as Kikuchi does.
Makes sense. I want to address just a few things. Yeah. So I did get a new link. Thank you, Nathan, for making me a new link quickly. I put it back into chat, the Stochastic Sims Tool link. So that link should be working. The one that I just put into chat, check that out. Danny Guzman asking, I just signed up for Sims. Do you need to be a Stochastic Plus member? Yeah, you need to have a Stochastic. I think it is a Stochastic Plus membership. I'm not sure which membership you need it.
Yeah, because the Sims Tool, you're going to have access to all of the data, you know, ownership projections, all of that. So it wouldn't be right to like be able to not be a member and then still get all that stuff,
right? So it's an add-on. So you do need access to that. But then also I wanted to give some shout outs. So we already talked a little bit about M the Great, but apparently took first in the 50 cent mini max, third in the dollar, ninth in the 50k contest, and fifth in the 20 max. So M the Great just peppering the leaderboards all over these different contests. That's awesome. And then also Scott Tarnick, that is incredible. I want to give the lineup generator a thank you for giving me a 15k win last night. So Scott Tarnick got a 15k win using the lineup generator. That is awesome to hear, Scott. I'm curious which type of lineups you ran. Did you do contrarian lineups? Because I feel like if you didn't do contrarian, you're probably getting to a ton of Spencer Strider, which would have hurt you. I last night ran some contrarian lineups, which I didn't end up using because I tried to use the Sims tool and didn't get my lineups in. But I had to go to the contrarian lineups to get some non-Strider, and those were probably the best lineups to play last night, were those contrarian non-Strider lineups. So I'm curious, Scott, which lineups you use. But anyway, congrats. That is really awesome to take down 15K. Good for you. Love to see both the lineup generator and the Sims tool working out for people. All right. So you said that you have some interest in the Twins, Adam. Can you go over your level of interest in all sides of, in the bats in this game, Minnesota and Toronto?
Yeah, I'm more interested in the Minnesota bats. You know, Toronto has the higher implied run total. They are obviously the better offense, and I certainly wouldn't talk anybody off ever of stacking Toronto at low ownership and just hoping for the best. But in terms of like just being able to point to, you know, I think this is a good spot, I actually prefer the Minnesota side despite the lower implied run total. I think there is more home run upside for them given the matchup. So I think for me, it's the pitching's really hard to rank because I don't like Kikuchi and I do like Gray, but I don't think I get to Gray today, and I probably do get some Kikuchi. So I guess Kikuchi 1, Twins hitters 2, Blue Jays hitters 3, Gray 4, but it's a really weird game to rank.
So you just did the ranking. I was just responding. Danny said, what if I'm not using Fantasy Cruncher? Do I still need that? I mean, you need to have a way of creating like up to 2,000 lineups. So I use Fantasy Cruncher. You need to have an optimizer. I would recommend Fantasy Cruncher if you don't already have one. But you don't technically. You just need to use something that you can create 500, 2,000 lineups, whatever. So probably wouldn't be useful to hand build. You're going to need to use an optimizer to make some lineups for you. So yeah, highly recommend using Fantasy Cruncher to make those lineups if you have not already. All right, so you just ranked the four sides of the game. So we can move on to Houston at Cleveland. Christian Javier on the mound for the Astros. Logan Allen for the Guardians. Any interest in these pitchers, Adam?
A little bit. Logan Allen's pulling about 9-10% ownership at 7,700. Really tough matchup for him against Houston. You did have Yordan Alvarez leave yesterday's game early, so it's relatively likely. I haven't seen an update on him, but there's at least a chance. I don't know how high since I haven't seen an update, but at least a chance that you get a Houston lineup missing him, which would be better for Allen. But either way, it's going to be a tough matchup. He has been very good, though, so far in his rookie season, striking out about 24% of hitters, 3.78 xFIP, not allowing a lot of power, not walking a lot of guys. I mentioned it before that the mid-range on pitching today doesn't leave you a lot to work with. You know, Tyler Wells clearly stands out as the best, but, you know, then people are playing Kikuchi, who clearly has flaws. Logan Allen is sixth in top two pitcher percentage right now at 11%, 9.5% projected ownership. I don't feel good about him against Houston, obviously, but I still think, you know, certainly a viable option. Javier is not getting any ownership at 10-8. The problem for him is that he's more expensive than Shohei Ohtani. He's not much less expensive than Gerrit Cole. He does have good strikeout stuff in the aggregate at 26.5%, but he's got massive splits here. So one, when you talk about Cleveland as a team, they are very bad offensively. They've been the second worst offense in baseball against right-handed pitching. The only offense that's been worse from a production standpoint is the Tigers, but their active rosters only struck out 19.3% of the time. So tough strikeout matchup just because it's Cleveland. But then also when you look at Javier's splits this year, he has struck out 33.8% of the right-handed hitters that he's faced. He's only struck out 19.3% of lefties. So you already have a Cleveland team that doesn't strike out easily. And then you have a Cleveland projected lineup that only has three right-handed hitters in it. And two of those guys are hitting eighth and ninth. So you're going to see them less often if you're Javier. So it sets up as a really difficult strikeout matchup at a really difficult price tag to get to. The only real case I think you can make for him is one, the Guardians suck, and two, nobody's playing him. So, you know, if Ohtani and Cole both pitch poorly and you go to Javier and he's able to just give you, you know, six shutout innings, then you can win that way. But I don't think he's somebody I'm going to end up getting to. I like the matchup more for Javier, but Allen at that price tag's the pitcher I think I get to more.
Okay. And then what is your level of interest in the bats?
Not a ton. Houston at low ownership is always a team that you can stack. You know, Logan Allen, like I said, has been good this year, but you are talking about still a rookie pitcher, probably going to have his share of bad starts mixed in. Houston is middle of the pack in top stack percentage at 3.5%, 2.5% aggregate ownership. They're kind of, they're very, very similar to Toronto, where there's nothing I can point to where I'm like, oh, I think this spot looks really good for this hitter. It's more so Houston's got a ton of good hitters, and if Allen doesn't have his best stuff, they'll take advantage. But nothing that really stands out. The Cleveland side, you know, I did mention it that Javier's not striking lefties out this year. He has also allowed a 210 expected ISO. I think it looks good for Jose Ramirez. I think it looks good for Andres Jimenez, who's reasonably priced. Naylor and Bell are both cheap at first base. I don't mind the idea of kind of getting to the middle of the order, trying to get a home run or two from these left-handed bats, but there's nothing that stands out really as a top play. The closest thing to it would be Ramirez, who not only is he really good, he's also somehow $4,900 on DraftKings, which is just a really cheap price tag.
SMP says Dusty Baker had an ominous quote about how the Astros have to regroup and find a way to win some games in response to a question about Yordan Alvarez and his oblique injury.
Yeah, so I mean, that doesn't sound good. I also didn't even realize it was an oblique injury. Those typically take a while.
Yeah, so that's you know, maybe it's a little bit of a bonus for Logan Allen, I guess, to face this Astros lineup without Yordan Alvarez.
Yeah, it's still not an easy lineup, but you're taking out one of the best hitters in baseball, so it's better. It's kind of like Whitlock facing the Yankees, except like I think the Houston lineup without Alvarez is still better than the Yankees lineup without Judge. But it's the same kind of thing. You know, it's still a dangerous spot. It's just you don't have to face one of the best hitters.
Right. It's helpful.
Yeah.
And then doesn't make it worse. How would you rank the four sides of this game?
Probably Allen. Astros, Cleveland, Javier at like as stacks. I do think Jose Ramirez individually is the best hitting play in the game, though.
Makes sense. All right. Sorry, I had to respond. Got those links figured out. Had to respond to that. Moving on to Washington at Atlanta. We've got Josiah Gray on the mound for the Nats. AJ Smith-Shawver on the mound for the Braves. I'm not familiar with AJ Smith-Shawver. Do you have any interest in either of these pitchers, Adam?
Yeah, I'm really surprised, and I think it probably changes, but I'm really surprised Smith-Shawver is not getting more attention right now. We only have him projected for 1% ownership with a 3% chance of being a top two pitcher. He made his major league debut 5 days ago, threw 39 pitches in 2 1/3 innings out of the bullpen, but he's started all of his minor league appearances this year. He's a top 100 ranked pitching prospect. He's only 20 years old. Started the year at high A, made 3 starts there, made 2 starts at double A, made 2 starts at triple A, and now he's in the majors. So I don't expect the Braves to have a very long leash on him here, but I don't think we're in a situation where like he's limited to 40 or 50 pitches or anything. I think you can get, you know, 5 innings out of this guy. And like I said earlier, mid-range pitching isn't very good. You have 13% ownership right now coming to a pretty bad Yusei Kikuchi at 7,100 and 1% coming into Smith-Shawver at 6,500 against one of the worst offenses in baseball. Granted, the Nats, just like Cleveland, don't strike out a lot, but they're not a good offense. Smith-Shawver does have good strikeout stuff. If you look at the projection models on Fangraphs, his projected strikeout percentage rest of season ranges anywhere from like 22.5% to 25%, depending on which model you're looking at. So strikeout stuff is there. Price tag is very reasonable at 6,500. I like him, especially if he's not going to be very popular. You know, again, I do think it's likely that as projections sort of get adjusted throughout the day, that all of this stuff in the top pitchers tool comes up. But I think he's one of the better value pitchers on the slate. On the other side, not interested in getting to Gray. You have a very, very tough matchup against the Braves, who have a 5.9 implied run total. Gray has been better at limiting power so far this year. But the trade-off has been that he's not striking guys out at a high clip either. So really difficult to make any sort of a case for him. But I do like getting to Smith-Shawver.
Yeah, I'm looking at Smith-Shawver's minor league numbers. 110 total innings pitched in the minor leagues, 164 strikeouts. That's obviously minor league, not as, you know, doesn't necessarily translate to major league, but that is a very high strikeout rate. That's kind of exciting. Arnold says, just a point of interest, it is kind of interest, says Rafael Devers has 7 hits against Gerrit Cole. 6 of those 7 hits are home runs. That is a very interesting stat.
That's kind of Gerrit Cole in a nutshell, though. Like, right. If you hit it, it means he made a mistake, and so right. You're probably hitting it hard and far.
Yeah, good point. And JB says, ready to rake the So Rare. Yeah, I don't know what time it actually starts today. I haven't looked at it. I did already set my lineup, but yeah, I'm ready to go for that So Rare slate as well. I don't know if it doesn't start till tonight or if there's an afternoon game today. I don't know. We'll see. All right. What is your level of interest in the bats in this Washington-Atlanta game?
Very, very interested in the Braves. You know, Gray has been better at limiting power, but that's not going to get me away from Atlanta here. 154 expected ISO to lefties, certainly much better than it's been in the past. 158 expected ISO to righties, also not bad. The big difference has been his ability to limit left-handed power, going from a 270 expected ISO last year down to 154 this year. But one, the Braves don't really have that many lefties. And two, the ones they have are just so good, I don't really care. The Braves are third in stack score. They are second in top stack percentage. They just look really, really good. They're not even that expensive. Acuna, 6,500. Olsen, 5,800 on DraftKings. No other hitter is even north of 5K. Austin Riley is the next most expensive at 4,800. You're going to get one of the best catching options in Sean Murphy at only 4,300. Rosario is a cheap value option. Ozuna, Arcia, Harris all offer value. Atlanta just looks like a very, very good team to get to.
All right. And how would you rank the four sides of this game?
Atlanta 1. Smith-Shawver 2, Washington 3, Gray 4. I didn't specifically talk about Washington. I don't think they're a great stack, but I don't think we can totally sleep on them. They are 7.5% to be the top value stack. They are facing a guy making his first major league start. Obviously, there's some added volatility there. The dude is 20 years old. I mean, I can't imagine like what is going through his head today.
Right.
So obviously there's...
Going to walk the first 8 batters. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I mean, there's you never can know how nerves are going to affect somebody. A lot of times, you know, you'll see somebody like come out and struggle in the first inning and then they get it together because
yep.
You know, as long as they get out of it, they get it together. You never know how that's going to go. Obviously there's some added volatility there and the Nats are cheap. It is good hitting conditions. It is a good park. So yeah, don't totally ignore them as a value stack. But I would say Braves 1, Smith Shawver 2, Nats 3, Gray 4.
All right. Makes sense. JB says, got my hands on a red McMahon. I assume you mean rare, like number 2, I think 1,000 in so rare. That's a great card too. Must have won that in a contest. I think I won a McMahon last week or the week before also. Useful to have Rockies cards in general for those core slates. So that's a good one to have. Rant says, not sure what the difference is between an optimizer and a Sims tool. So our Sims tool is simulated. It's a contest level sim. So it doesn't create lineups, right? You need to input the lineups into the Sim tool, and then it's going to simulate a DFS contest with all of the lineups you put in. They're going to be simulated like, I think 50,000 times against each other. So like, we're going to run 50,000 simulations of all of the lineups you enter playing against each other in DFS contests to see which ones win the most often. So the difference is, an optimizer just creates lineups where it does like game level simulations, like simulates the baseball games, the different outcomes of the players. The Sims tool that we just came out with this past week is simulate an actual DFS contest. So it's something that people have been talking about for years, like, oh man, once this happens, it's really going to change the industry. And this is finally, we're the first company to come up with something like that. So that is the difference between.
Yeah. Like, just think about it. Like, so an optimizer, if you don't use randomness at all an optimizer is doing is giving you the lineup that projects the best with your projections. If you use randomness, it is creating random scores for each player and then telling you what the highest scoring lineup was using those random scores. A simulator is taking those lineups, creating random scores for each player, and then determining which lineups win out. So, and they're doing it over and over. So, you know, if you're simulating 50,000 times, you're creating 50,000 different random scores for each player. And so it's able to incorporate range of outcomes better. You know, it's going to, you know, the lineups that project better are still going to be favored, but like it's incorporating, you know, if you have guys that hit home runs, they're going to have, you know, higher standard deviations, bigger range of outcomes, higher ceilings. But also it's going to be able to account for ownership because and this is why it's important to mimic the field. Because like every hitter within one simulation is going to get the same score. So every lineup that has Aaron Judge, if the random score for Aaron Judge is 6, they're all getting a 6. And so it's going to be able to account for ownership because, you know, let's say Judge is 80% owned, just to use a really high number, and he scores 3. The 20% that don't have Judge are just going to have the leg up and be moving to the top more often. So, like Neil said, it's simulating the entire contest over and over, as opposed to an optimizer is just giving you the highest projected lineup that it can build with the settings that you put into it.
Right. Exactly. That was a good explanation of what the Sims tool is. Sounds like Rance is understanding what we're saying now. So glad we could explain that. I also see Anthony just said that he signed up for lineup generator. Yeah, we haven't been doing lineup generator segments on this show lately. We've been doing Sims tool segments, but I've been doing daily looks at the lineup generator and how I'm using it on YouTube. So if you're, you know, trying to think how to use lineup generator, I mean, it's pretty straightforward because it only gives you, you know, plus EV lineups. It shoots out lineups for you. You decide if you want them or not. But I've been going into a little bit more trying to like figure out which lineups I want to choose or how I want to diversify my lineups. I've been doing a daily lineup generator video. So if you're interested, I'll be posting that later today. Check that out. But glad to hear that you signed up, Anthony, because we've had a lot of people having success with it. Obviously, a cheaper way to get great lineups. The lineup generator, essentially, our team uses the Sims tool, run Sims, and the lineup generator only gives you the lineups that have been found to be plus EV in the Sims that our team has run. So it's a, you know, shorter way to do it. Obviously not as customizable, but another great way to just get fantastic lineups. All right, Adam, next game on the slate, we've got Miami at Chicago, Uri Perez on the mound for the Marlins, Dylan Cease for the White Sox. Any interest in these pitchers?
Yeah, both of them. This is one of the first games we've gotten to where both pitchers are actually look pretty good. 4.2 implied run total for the White Sox, 3.8 for the Marlins. Cease has not been as dominant this year as in previous years, but he's only $9,200. He's still striking out 24.5% of hitters. 4.37 xFIP, not exactly what you want to see from him, but Miami is a pretty weak offense overall. 91 WRC plus against right-handed pitching on their active roster this year. Only striking out 20.8% of the time. Part of that is because the guy getting the most plate appearances, Luis Arraez, does not strike out. He's also hitting like 400. Absolute pain in the ass if you're taking pitchers against him. But you can get some strikeouts, you know, further down in the order. The big thing, though, is just that Cease's salary has dropped as well. So you're getting a nice discount there. He's only getting 8% ownership, too, which is surprising. You know, I like Castillo is certainly a better pitcher, at least has been this year. But I don't think Castillo should be getting nearly three times the ownership facing the Angels in L.A. At, you know, $600 more. I don't really think that an 11K Cole should be getting double the ownership compared to a $9,200 Cease when one of them's facing the Red Sox and one is facing the Marlins. So there is risk with Cease, but I'm more interested in him, I guess, than the field appears to be. Perez projected for no ownership. He is $8,900, which, you know, is expensive. The Marlins have had a pretty short leash on him as far as going deep into games. So that's, you know, not ideal either. 88 pitches last time out in five innings. He hasn't gone more than five innings. So that's the downside for Perez, is he's probably not going more than five innings. The stuff is very good. The matchup is fine. Overall, this year, through his first handful of starts, 24% strikeout percentage, 4.57 xFIP. I'd like him a lot more if he were cheaper, but Cease at 9,200, I think, actually does look pretty good here.
All right. And what is your level of interest in the bats in this game?
Not much. Miami, you know, just not a good offense. Cease is a good pitcher, even if he has struggled a bit this year. Perez has been volatile, but also is one of the best pitching prospects in baseball, has really good stuff. Chicago's offense isn't, you know, anything to write home about. We have them in the, looks like the bottom third, maybe bottom, you know, middle third. But 2.5% chance of being the top stack, 1.5% ownership. Stack score puts them towards like the middle as well. Not much interest in the bats here.
All right. And how would you rank the four sides of the game?
Cease one, I guess Perez two, but again, I don't love that price tag for somebody that we have no reason to think is going more than five innings. White Sox three, Miami four.
Jake Swill says Arias has more multi-hit games than he has strikeouts on the season. Yeah, that's insane. That is insane.
He's a hitter from like 1988.
Yeah. I wish the Twins could have not traded him, but
what are you gonna do? You got Lopez at least.
Right, exactly. Like the pitching staff definitely improved for the Twins. So I guess we gotta make those sacrifices. All right. Next up we've got Oakland at Milwaukee, Luis Medina on the mound for the A's, Adrian Hauser for the Brewers. Any interest in these pitchers, Adam?
Not particularly. Brewers have a 5.9 implied run total. I don't anticipate messing around with Medina. It also looks like he's probably going to be the follower. So not that that matters too much. You know, he's 5,500. He still could certainly get there, but I don't anticipate going to him. Hauser at 6K is somewhat interesting given the lack of good value pitching on this slate. It's another one where I'm just a little surprised that he's basically not getting any ownership. He's not a very good strikeout pitcher, but he is a good real life pitcher. He is $6,000 and he's facing one of the worst offenses in baseball. Oakland so far this year against right-handed pitching, 95 WRC plus, but also a 25% strikeout percentage. Hauser has only struck out 14% of hitters, but he has a 4.16 xFIP. He can go deep in the games. Went seven innings last time out, through 92 pitches, 95 pitches to start before that. Only went 4 1/3 in that one, got hit hard by Toronto. But point being, like, this is a fully stretched out starter at 6K facing the A's on a slate where people are playing Yusei Kikuchi for $1,000 more. So I am somewhat interested in Hauser just as a value play if you need it, but certainly not the type of pitcher you're going to get excited about.
Yeah, we have a Coors slate here, so maybe it does help you get up to like those San Diego bats in Coors. I haven't made lineups or anything, but I would imagine.
The problem is game slate like this is not free but cheap. Tatis is expensive. Soto's expensive. Machado is 5,200. You can get to San Diego relatively easily, I think, probably by pair. Even if you're pairing like Otani and Wells, you know, you're spending like, you know, 18, 18.5.
Okay.
Yeah, so I mean, like, if you go Otani, the two most popular pitchers are Otani and Wells. If you go to them, you have $3,900 left per position. If you then go Tatis Soto, you're down to $3,100. So, I mean, you'd have to find some cheap bats, you know, to round out your lineup. But, like, Willie Calhoun is 2K. Let's say, you know, Bowers, so a two-man Yankees. Now you're back to $3,600. You know, I think you can make it work.
Okay.
And like, you don't have to go to Otani, obviously. Like, if you go well Cease, you're saving money there. So like, I don't think you need to pay down much for pitching, but in lineups where you are, you know, maybe you want to go to the Padres and then also get to like the Braves or something.
Right.
I really don't think Hauser is a bad play.
And not getting a ton of ownership either, sounds like. What do we have him at? We've got Hauser at, 3% ownership. So looks good there. Of course, we have SportsWiz saying, I will definitely be playing Oakland versus Hauser. So not a Hauser believer. How about you, Adam? Are you going to be playing any Oakland bats or Milwaukee bats here?
I'll probably get to some Oakland. I think it's more likely when I get to Oakland that it's like one-offs or two-mans, just mixing in like Ruiz, Noda, Brown, Laureano, because they are so cheap. They do get a nice park upgrade going into Milwaukee. Hauser doesn't miss a lot of bats. I think Hauser is certainly better at pitching than the A's are at hitting. It's just that they are very, very cheap. And this is another way that, you know, let's say you wanted to go Ohtani, Wells, Padres, mixing in some essentially minimum salary athletics is one way you can do it. So from a value standpoint, they are the number one top value stack. So I can see getting there. I certainly prefer the Milwaukee side going up against Medina. 5.9 implied run total. They are second in stack score, third in top stack percentage. They just look pretty good. Medina hasn't been a great pitcher. Huge park downgrade for him. 220 expected ISO to lefties, 274 to righties this year. You have Adames back in the lineup for the Brewers. Contreras is going to be a good catcher option. Miller is cheap and probably leading off. Yelich is good. Anderson is cheap. Tellez is good. It's a good spot to get to Milwaukee.
All right. And how would you rank the four sides of the game?
Milwaukee 1, probably A's 2 just for the value. Like, I think I probably get to them more than Hauser. Hauser 3 and Medina 4.
Okay. Four games left. Next one up, we have Cincinnati at St. Louis. Ben Lively on the mound for the Reds. Jordan Montgomery on the mound for the Red Birds. Any interest in either of these pitchers?
Some interest in Montgomery. 7,300, 19% ownership, 10% chance of being a top two pitcher. So we do have him getting the most ownership of these like 7 to 8K guys. He's getting more than Allen. He's getting more than Kikuchi. We have him similar in top two pitcher percentage, slightly behind Allen, but he is also less expensive. The matchup is better, 3.5 implied run total for the Reds. Certainly prefer facing the Reds compared to the Astros, although the Reds do have young talent in their lineup. Montgomery, not a very good strikeout pitcher. I've always thought that he should be, but for whatever reason, he isn't. 20.8% K percentage, 3.98 xFIP. He's a good real life pitcher, though, so no issues with getting to him. Ben Lively, I think, more difficult to get to. Still don't really have a good idea of what he's going to be at the major league level. Spent most of the last few seasons in the KBO. He's been good so far, striking out 28% of hitters, but nothing suggests that's going to continue. I'm not buying into it. It is a tough matchup against the Cardinals as well, at least in theory. They are a tough team to strike out. They do have good hitters in their lineup. So I'm interested in Montgomery, much less interested in Lively.
Okay. Any interest in Cardinals or Reds bats?
A little bit interested in the Cards just because they're only getting 2 to 3% ownership against a pitcher in Lively that isn't likely to be a very good major league pitcher. Again, he certainly could just outperform projections the rest of the year, but it's pretty unlikely that he continues to do so. Only a 143 expected ISO to righties for him so far this year, 195 to lefties with a much lower strikeout percentage as well. Now, most of the Cardinals lineup is going to be right-handed, or at least the good hitters, but Nolan Gorman's going to look good. Donovan gives you some value. Burleson gives you some value. And then obviously, you're still not shying away from Goldschmidt, Arenado, Contreras. So some interest in the Cards just because of the lack of ownership.
All right. Where does this stadium rank? I'm not sure where the St. Louis stadium ranks in terms of like hitter versus pitcher park.
I have it pulled up. I think it's middle of the pack typically, but this is one kind of like Camden Yards that the time of the year I think makes a big impact. St. Louis gets very hot and humid during the summer. When you're playing there in the spring and fall, it's just a big park without good hitting conditions. Over the last 3 years, St. Louis is 23rd in home run park factor. They are 20th in run, overall park factor.
So a little bit of a pitcher's,
leans pitchers, 98 park factor, 88 for home runs over the last 3 years. But again, you're going to get some summer games where, it's 90 degrees and humid and it's not going to be a pitcher's park.
Right. Okay. How would you rank the four sides of this game?
Montgomery 1, Cardinals 2, I guess Reds 3, Lively 4. Ellie De La Cruz did finally get a little bit more of a price bump. He's 3,700. That's still a good value. It's just not the same value.
Okay. You say 3,700? Yeah, it's still pretty cheap.
Ryan Greenbaum. I think I would rather play And this isn't, I mean, I don't have an issue with either one. I think I'd rather pay $3,800 for Lewis against Kikuchi than $3,700 for De La Cruz here. Again, if you disagree, that's completely fine. De La Cruz is ridiculously good.
Yep. Ryan Rainbaum asking for the best value pitcher on FanDuel for single entry. That is, do you have an answer there, Adam?
I will in a second.
Best value pitcher. I mean,
like, so I'm taking this as best value pitcher that you would want to play. And also, this didn't load right.
I don't know what you consider a value pitcher. Jordan Montgomery at 8,200 has, you know, everybody above him is at least 1,000 more expensive in terms of top 1% odds. So
yeah, I was going to say, like, Montgomery probably, because I mean, like, if you just sort by value, you're getting like Medina and guys that you just don't want. As far as like actual quality pitchers, value-wise, it's probably Montgomery at 8,200. Like, he's, if you sort by top pitcher percentage, the guys ahead of him are Otani, Cole, Castillo, Wells, Allen, and Cease. They're all at least $1,100 more. Then below him, Stroman, Gray, Javier, all at least 1,400 more. Kikuchi's 200 more, but I prefer Montgomery. So, yeah.
What do you think of AJ Smith-Shawver on FanDuel at 7,200?
My only concern there is I don't know what the chances are of him going six innings.
Okay. So a little, you'd be more inclined to play him on DraftKings, you think?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And also, like, it's only $1,000 price difference between him and Montgomery on FanDuel. I think that's easy enough to get.
Okay. All right. I think that's Jordan Montgomery, the answer.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. We'll move on to the next game, which is San Diego at Colorado. We've got a Coors game here. Yu Darvish on the mound for the Padres, Austin Gomber for the Rockies. Playing any pitchers in Coors?
I don't hate the idea of Darvish. He's only $8,000 on DraftKings. 4% ownership, 7% chance of being a top two scoring pitcher. I hate taking pitchers in Coors. Everybody, you know, everybody does. Nobody likes it. I wouldn't fault anybody for not doing it. I don't know if I'll get to him or not. If I don't, I don't really care. But the things that make me actually interested here are that, one, his salary is $8,000. So he's priced for Coors Field. This isn't, you know, you're not paying full price for Yu Darvish in Coors. The Rockies suck, no matter where they are. You could put them on the moon, and I'm not sure that they could hit. They have a 4.8 implied round total. It's not like it's nothing, but it's comparable to a lot of teams on this slate. But again, an $8,000 salary for Darvish just mitigates a good amount of the risk. And then the fact that he's 4% owned, at least you're getting sizable reward if he does go out there and pitch well. And you're talking about a pitcher that has an identical strikeout percentage to Christian Javier this year. It's actually higher than Garrett Cole. 3.7 XFIP is better than both Cole and Javier, who are both a lot more expensive than him. So it's a risky play. I don't think it's like a great play, but it does have things that at least make me consider going to him. The drop in price, in salary, the low ownership, the fact the Rockies just aren't good, and also just the lack of other pitching on the slate. Like, if you're going to get, I really like Tyler Wells as a pitcher. I really like Tyler Wells today. He's like 10 times as popular as Yu Darvish.
Yeah. All right. I was looking up stuff for SoRare, because we got an interesting SoRare question from JB. I think that makes sense. I think Yu Darvish actually, I like that, playing Yu Darvish in Coors, probably at reduced ownership, reduced price tag. It's a good spot.
It's one where I'm interested to see where I end up. I wouldn't be surprised at all if I have none. I wouldn't be surprised if I have like 15%. I wouldn't be upset if I have none, but I would actually kind of like it if I have 15%, because like, I think it's a good contrarian play.
Okay. JB asking for this three-game series. So this is a SoRare question here. So for the Friday through Sunday slate, who would you rather have, Alvarez for the Mets or Bobby Witt Jr. for the Royals? And I'm trying to look up where I had it pulled up somewhere and I just lost it, where the games are here, because that's going to – so we've got – so
the Mets are in Pittsburgh, Kansas City's in Baltimore. I don't know who's pitching for.
So we got Tyler Wells today for the Orioles. We have Rich Hill for the Pirates. Tomorrow we have TBD for the Orioles. So we can't. That's a little bit tough.
Yeah. The Orioles. The Orioles said they would prefer to use a traditional starter than a bullpen game. I don't know who at AAA is like lined up. I don't know if Grayson's coming back up to pitch. I don't know if they're going to bring up somebody else like Cole Irvin or something, but Yeah, I mean, so today the matchup's definitely better for Alvarez today.
Right.
I don't know who's pitching for the Pirates tomorrow or for the Orioles.
And then it's actually a tough spot for Alvarez. So he's got Rich Hill today, which, you know, not the worst, but then Oviedo tomorrow and then Mitch Keller on Sunday. So as far as Pirates pitchers go.
Who's pitching for the O's on Sunday?
On Sunday, Kyle Gibson.
Okay, I'm going to that game. But I mean, I think it's close.
That's a really tough, yeah.
I probably lean Witt, but I also am a pretty big Witt like truther. So
yeah.
The thing I like about Witt is that like he gives you the stolen base upside in addition to the power. So, you know, Alvarez is expected to be a good hitter. He's been good. But like if he doesn't hit, it's hard for him to get there. If Witt doesn't hit, obviously it's harder for him to get there too. But at least if he gets on base, you get stolen bases.
Do you have any idea what the strikeout rate is for either? Because that would also be with negative points for strikeouts on Sorwer.
Yeah, you
like might be a factor there. Also negative points for caught stealing, which I don't know if that affects.
So yeah, so that takes away some of the, that makes it closer, I guess. Yeah, because you're adding more negatives for Witt now. Right. So far this year, Witt has struck out 21.9%. He struck out 21.4 last year. Alvarez. Um, 24.8% this year. So higher strikeout percentage for Alvarez. You're going to get more caught stealings for Witt.
But not that. I mean, caught stealings, I feel like, happen more infrequently than strikeouts. Right,
right. Yeah, it just sort of negates part of my previous argument for Witt.
Right, right. Yeah, so it's a good question. Very close.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's close. I think I would still probably go Witt.
Yeah, I think so too. All right. We talked about the pitching side, obviously. Did you have any interest? Are you going to be playing any Rockies today or going with the Pods?
Yes. I mean, the Padres clearly happy to get as much as I can. Good spot. They're in Coors. They're facing Gomber. You have a ton of good right-handed hitters in this lineup. They aren't as cheap as some of the other visiting Coors teams have been recently, but they're still not super expensive. Tatis and Soto are north of 6K. Machado is north of 5. Cronenworth's the next most expensive hitter at 4,800. Then you drop down to 4,200 for Kim. Everybody else is sub 4K. So from a stacking standpoint, you can still mix in plenty of value. They're not going to be that difficult to get to. In top stack percentage, they're about 19%. The next closest team is Atlanta at 9.5%. 17% ownership coming into the Padres. So they are the most popular team as well, but I don't think it's too problematic given the spot. So certainly like getting to them. The Rockies have the much more difficult spot against Darvish, but they're also going to be a lot lower owned. 3% ownership, 4% chance of being the top stack. They're just another middle of the road team, kind of similar to like the Mets, the Pirates, the Astros, you know, teams like that.
All right. How would you rank the four sides of the game?
Padres 1, Darvish 2, Rockies 3, Gomber 4.
All right.
I was going to make fun of Gomber, but last time I said to roster relievers before Seabold, he took a no-hitter into like the fifth inning. So
right. Yeah. Baseball's weird. Baseball's weird.
It's,
all right.
At the end of the day, it's still really, really, really hard to hit pitching.
Yep. Exactly. All right. Just two games left, but kind of an impactful one here. We've got Seattle at Los Angeles with Luis Castillo on the mound for the Mariners. Shohei Ohtani for the Angels. What's your level of interest in the pitchers?
Very interested in both. Castillo, 9,800. Sort of mentioned them before. 21% ownership, 13% chance of being a top two pitcher. Third highest top two pitcher percentage on DraftKings at 9,800. There are strikeouts in the Angels lineup. It is a dangerous park. I mean, this is a negative park shift for Castillo going into Anaheim. So I'd mentioned it before. I think that the gap in ownership between like him and Cease probably shouldn't be as big as it is. Maybe it closes throughout the day. But Castillo is still clearly one of the better pitchers on the slate. He's struck out 29.2% of hitters this year, 3.27 xFIP. Really, really good pitcher. On the other side, Ohtani, the number one pitcher on the slate, 33.8% K percentage, 3.3 xFIP. Not the easiest matchup against Seattle, especially with them getting a positive park shift, but 25.1% K percentage on the active roster against right-handed pitching for Seattle, 98 WRC plus. Ohtani projects the best. He's less expensive than Javier. He's less expensive than Cole at $10,400. 42% ownership, the highest on the slate. Certainly very happy to get to either one of these pitchers.
Do you think you'd be above weight or underweight to the field on Ohtani?
Probably over.
Okay. Hard to know, I guess, at this point in the day. You haven't built your lineups yet.
Yeah.
But
I mean, I'm thinking more so just sort of how my lineups have looked recently. I've been getting to the top pitchers pretty heavily. Had 94% Strider yesterday. Had, I don't remember who the ace was on the early slate yesterday, but I had a lot of him. I think Kershaw maybe I had like 100%. And this is another slate where, you know, not that things can't go poorly for Ohtani, but he just looks different than every other pitcher.
Right. Yep.
I think it's likely that I play a lot of Ohtani, and then maybe I'm taking chances on a Yu Darvish or the Braves pitcher or, you know, Stroman or like these low-owned SP2s as opposed to getting away from Ohtani.
Yep. Bert Bondi says, just so hard to get away. Gomber is so awful, it's so hard to fade San Diego. Yeah, I agree. I actually went out and spent some money on some so rare cards of these Padres because I was like, this is just too good of a spot. This team is going to start mashing at some point. And this feels like the time for them to start mashing. But
yeah, we'll see. 235 expected ISO, 394 expected WOBA to righties this year, 318 expected ISO, 450 expected WOBA to lefties. His expected numbers were much better last year. He's actually somebody that, you know, earlier in his career, I thought was at the very least, you know, average. I don't know how much of this is just pitching in Coors sucks. I don't know how much is playing for the Rockies sucks because they're not a competent organization and they're not going to make you better. Probably a combination of the two.
Sports Swiss says Gary Sanchez is on a tear. I did not realize Gary Sanchez was doing well.
He's hitting like when he first came up in 2016 or whatever.
Wow. All right.
Career. Like he came up. Like he's like, not I don't know old if you remember, but like, he came up and just was crushing
the ball. I remember, yeah.
And it was just like, this guy isn't supposed to be this good. This can't be real. And then it's real for like 2 or 3 years, and then he just falls off a cliff, and it's like, okay, he's back to like what he was kind of supposed to be. And then now, I guess, again, leave the Yankees and get good again.
Yeah, go figure. Pretty crazy career. And I don't, like, he's still fairly, I guess he's been into 2016, so what is he, like 30, 31? Like, not that probably old.
Probably somewhere around there. Yeah, I mean, he was young when he came up.
Yeah. All right, any interest in the bats in this Seattle-Los Angeles game against these pitchers?
Not really, no.
Okay. Easy enough. How would you rank this 30? 30? Okay.
Ohtani, Castillo, Angels, Mariners.
All right. Final game of the slate, we've got Chicago at San Francisco. Marcus Stroman on the mound for the Cubs, Anthony DeSclafani for the Giants. Any interest in these pitchers, Adam?
A little bit in tournaments, mostly like because of ownership, but you have 3.5% ownership coming into Stroman at 8,700. You have 5% coming into DeSclafani at 7,400. It's not an ideal matchup for either guy. The Giants this year have a 120 WRC plus against right-handed pitching. They have struck out 25% of the time. The Cubs, 95 WRC plus, 24.5% K percentage. Stroman's been very, very good this year. You are in a good park for limiting runs. His strikeout stuff against righties has been better than usual, 25.3% K percentage. Still only striking out 19% of lefties, but not giving up much production to either side. I think at the very least, he's another one of the pitchers where, as much as I like Tyler Wells, I don't think Tyler Wells should be nearly 4 times as popular, or 10 times rather, as popular as Marcus Stroman. So if you need a pivot, I think that makes sense. And the same can be said for DeSclafani at 7,400. I don't really know why Yusei Kikuchi would be getting 3 or 4 times the ownership of DeSclafani. He's not a terrible pitcher. He's in a good park. Kikuchi is a pretty bad pitcher in a bad park. So I just, when you compare somebody like that to Kikuchi, I think that DeSclafani is going a little bit under-owned. That's reflected in the top pitchers tool as well. Overall this year, you know, again, not a great pitcher by any stretch. He's striking out 17.5% of hitters. Doesn't walk guys, though, outside of his last start where he struggled with that. 4.07 xFIP, you know, hasn't been bad. Righties this year, striking out 23.7% of the time. Lefties only 11.9%. Most of the dangerous hitters in the Cubs lineup are right-handed. Horner, Swanson, Suzuki all hit from the right side. Mancini's right-handed. It's a pretty balanced lineup overall, but the only lefty that is a proven good major league hitter is Ian Happ. So I'm interested in both of these pitchers just as ways to save ownership in tournaments if you need to.
And I believe if you're playing the limited contest on Soror, Anthony DeSclafani is, I believe, eligible in the relief pitcher spot. So consider maybe playing him against the Cubs there as well. JB asking Nola versus Hunter for this week. It's Nola against the Dodgers, Hunter Green versus the Cardinals. I think I'd go Hunter Green against the Cardinals. I'm just too afraid of Aaron Nola facing the Dodgers there.
I would lean Green. It's not a perfect matchup for him, but
no,
he does at least have massive strikeout stuff and isn't facing the Dodgers.
Right. All right. Are you playing either of these offenses, Cubs or Giants here?
Doubt it. Not a good park for power. 58 degrees. Two decent enough pitchers. I don't really see it.
All right. How would you rank the four sides of the game?
Stroman, Desclafani. Actually, I guess I'll go Desclafani since he is 1,300 cheaper. So Desclafani, Stroman, Giants, Cubs.
Okay, perfect. All right, so we've made it through the entire slate. Adam, three favorite stacks.
Padres, obviously. Atlanta. Minnesota.
Nice. Three favorite pitchers.
Otani, Wells, and I'll try and give a contrarian. So, I mean, it's Otani, Wells, Castillo probably are my favorite three, but I'll try and mix in somebody that isn't one of the most popular pitchers. Otani, Wells, and then as far as a contrarian pay up, Cease, and as far as contrarian value, at least right now, Smith-Shawver.
Nice. Home run pick outside of Coors.
Home run pick outside of Coors. I will take Royce Lewis.
I'm going with Matt Olson. We've got him with a 36% chance of hitting a homer. We have Fernando Tatis at 45% in that Coors game. Matt Olson, though, 36%.
I think Matt Olson's a good pick. My only the one thing that I have kind of been trying to be aware of, and again, there's only so much you can do with it, but any project, and this applies to DFS, not just home run picks, but Josiah Gray has made massive adjustments and how he pitches to lefties, and you're just going to have lefties projecting better against him than they really should for a while.
Okay. Interesting. So that might actually,
not to knock Olson, like still a great play.
Very
likely to hit a home run. It's just something, it's one of those things that's really tough with MLB because any good projection model is very heavily going to be weighting what guys have done in the past.
Right.
And Josiah Gray has been an absolute gas can against lefties his entire career. But then this year he's added a new pitch and has eliminated like 50% of the power numbers he was giving up.
Yeah, good call there. Rant says Yelich maybe or Adames. We actually have Rowdy Tellez, number three for the Brewers with a 35% chance of hitting a home run. So he would be the Milwaukee guy that I would go to. We do have Adames down at 27%, so not bad there either. But Adam, we are over time here. I'm going to be back in 15 minutes for an underdog NBA show with Lofi. Do you have any final words? Where can people find you today?
I'll have my article out shortly. Actually wrote some of that this morning. Bet Pro video will be out, and then I will be back for NBA at, I don't know, 7:30 or something.
Yep, 7:30 for you. I'll be back for MLB Live Before Lock at 6:00 Eastern time. So we will see you guys then. But again, I'll be back in 15 minutes with Lofi on the Underdog NBA show if you want to join us for that. Thank you guys so much for hanging out, watching the show. If you haven't done so, please do click that like button. Good luck today. We'll catch you later.